Well, hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We're so glad that you've joined us for this time of seeking to deepen our faith, our understanding of who God is and what God requires of us, and to be those who live our lives as though God is real and relevant because He is. In fact, He is the all-defining reality, and the one we should be able to say to live is Christ, to die is gain. Today, we have the amazing privilege of having Mark Jones with us. Mark is a friend as well as an incredible scholar, and we actually had him on here before as we were coming out of COVID, and I asked him the question, what is the most important thing for the Canadian church coming out of COVID? And Mark, your answer was?
Reclaiming the centrality of the local church and attendance, I think.
Yeah, I think you used the word ecclesiology.
I did. That's shorthand for what I just said. Ecclesiology, that's a big word. Basically the doctrine of the church.
So why is it that you think that? And do you still believe that now that we're kind of significantly beyond where we were then?
Very much so. Before COVID, I noticed that, and the stats prove this, there is what's called the de-churching movement. I think around 2015, this sort of got traction in terms of popular authors and just being aware of it. But then COVID happened, and it sort of gave people an excuse of sorts to not attend church or to then make church online and identify, you know, corporate worship with being in your living room and that being okay. So it exacerbated the problem. It didn't create the problem. I think it just basically revealed that there were issues already, and it kind of moved it along a lot quicker, perhaps, is what I would say.
I think that's true. In fact, it's one of the reasons why the Gospel Coalition BC has done the Church is Essential. Can you tell us what you think the best solution would be? How do we solve that? If that's true, if this de-churching was already taking place and then was certainly accelerated because of what happened with COVID. Now, what do we do as those who love the local church?
Yeah, that's a good question, because you can't just preach on it, because the people who are there are at church. So now, assuming the people are still actually listening online, and I think churches have to be very careful now. We've decided not to make our service online streaming unless there's people who have a legitimate reason, and you know, they could be housebound, they could be, you know, there are people. We do, you know, record our sermons and people can listen to them anytime, but we think that people really should be at church. So if we are facilitating home worship, so to speak, that's probably not ideal from our perspective. Now, I get churches do things differently, and perhaps if they've always done that, it's part of their culture. I'm not here to be overly critical, but how do you get people back to church who aren't listening? Well, one of the things I'm trying to do in my own context, especially as a parent at Langley Christian School, is just have conversations with people, ask them questions and encourage them. And I've been inviting a lot of the students at school to come to church, and some of them have, even though their parents may not. They've been coming to church. Recently, we had several students come and show up, and it's just being in the community and talking about it.
So in an overflow of your heart, if you have a deep love for Jesus and then you have a deep love for His bride, and then you have those conversations with people and make it a little bit more difficult just to coast and have church at home. We've been discussing that too. We haven't done that yet. We always had an online service available for those who are homebound or for those who are struggling cancer. Maybe they're under chemo, can't be, or whatever the case may be, health issues. But we have considered and talked about, what do we do with the live stream? Mm-hmm. And it's a difficult decision, because you want people to be in community, loving one another, doing the one another's, as well as the community mm-hmm. of listening to the Word of God live. I actually agree with Lloyd Jones. I don't know what you think, but I think there is a spiritual component to being in the service as you hear the Word of God, as you sing praises with one another, and as you encourage and love one another.
Absolutely. You know, you can't read the New Testament without realizing very quickly that you need to be around people to love them and stir one another up to good works. In the context of Hebrews 10 is attending worship. But also, I think there's an element where when you're at the worship service with God's people, you've lost control. And what I mean by that is God is in control, and God puts you in a context where you can't, you know, sit and put your feet up and go get a coffee or go just do the weird things you might do at home when you're listening to an online service. You have to develop a lot more discipline when you're around God's people as you listen and how you act. And I think the removal of of people from the actual worship service to the home puts them in control more than they need to be and leads to a lot of bad habits in terms of how they listen and what they do and get up and do things in the kitchen. You know, I think anyone who's been worshiping at home for any period of time will admit to some very bad habits that can creep in quite quickly. So the worship service at church keeps us from being in control and puts God in control of where we need to be and how we worship.
I think it's so important. So if we can share as an overflow of our own hearts, we value it ourselves and we share with others the value of it, and we model that and we seek to teach that as local churches. Now, your part in the conference is going to be, what are you going to teach us on?
Well, that's a good question. I think I'm going to be looking at the nature of the importance of the church in terms of even church history. Not without a theological basis, of course, for, you know, why in church history has there been a basically unanimous view on the importance of corporate worship and all that that means. So I think if you see the history of the Christian tradition from the early church to medieval Reformation and so on, you get a pretty clear glimpse of just what was not in dispute, really. There's been a few changes over the centuries here or there, but there's really been no dispute about the essential aspect of corporate public worship.
I'm really looking forward to your message for us. I know you coach soccer around that, and soccer is very important, but I'm really looking forward to that. Is there anything else you'd like to say just in terms of an encouragement to the people that are listening to this on the importance of the local church, or something else that will encourage them to engage, to use their spiritual gifts, to commit to it as a high priority?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe encourage is not the word I want to use. My word is I want to confront people. Lloyd-Jones talks about a holy confrontation.
Is that because you're a Presbyterian? See, Baptists are a little more gentle. So
no, I'm coming out full guns blazing, and I make no apologies for that. I want you to say, you know what? I need to face up to what does God's word say, and I need to say, okay, am I? Do I see this in God's word? Do I see this among church history? And to be faced with, you know, some pretty important truths that really are matters of life and death. And I'm not trying to overstate the matter. I really believe these are matters of life and death. The importance of church for each Christian cannot be overstated. And I want to make sure people are confronted with that and then encouraged as they respond to it by faith as God wants them to. So let's say confrontation and encouragement together.
I like that, and I actually appreciate the confrontation first. I think so often we soft pedal what the Bible teaches clearly, and in soft pedaling it, we excuse sin if there's an abandonment of the priorities that God has, and in that excusing of it, it's life and death, like you said, and life and death for families and life and death for the community around us, in fact, as well as we lose strength. Appreciate that a lot. Mark, you're an author. You've written a lot of good books. I understand Knowing God and Knowing Christ and some of those other books.
Knowing God, yeah. I don't believe I wrote that, but since J.I. Packer's not around to debate me on it, I'll happily claim that one.
That's by far your best work.
Well, that's sad for me because I had nothing to do with it. But,
No. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. That was a joke that Steve Bray made me tell.
That's fine.
So yeah. Knowing Christ is my favorite of the ones you've written, although truthfully, I've enjoyed all of them.
Yeah.
I've been thoroughly enjoying your latest work, which is probably your biggest work by far, although least original. What of the things you've written is your favorite?
You know, the Knowing Christ was very special because it kind of felt like a book that just came out of my heart and soul very easily. I can't explain it. Every other book's been different. Not to say that it's, you know, it just felt like God was with me in a special way. And I look back and see some of the sentences and I go, Mark, I'm learning. I go, I forgot that. Now I'm learning again from that book. So that's, God has been really used of the Lord and amazing where it finds its way into jails and places and churches and this. So God is on the attributes of God. Those are my two favorites. And I mean, you never know with books. Some sink, some swim.
It's so true. I have enjoyed, like I said, I think everything you've written. Your book on the baby in the womb was one that I wept through.
Yeah.
And one of my passions that I don't know how to respond to is that life the value of life to God,
yeah,
from the womb to the tomb, and the attack of our, mm-hmm, world on it. And you fought it emotionally. So, yeah, you're a very intellectual guy. You're very smart. And I found with that one, I literally cried my way through as she wrote her
yeah,
experiences
from the
to
womb.
Her mom.
Yeah, if I could speak. I haven't heard a whole lot about how that's affected people. I should pray more to have God reveal, because I do know that it's really encouraging when you hear someone who says, you know, I really felt impacted by that or that. So that's a book I need to pray more that God would kind of show me, because I do actually pray that, you know, God would reveal whether this
lives
is all worth it. And,
yeah,
you know, and
well, for me personally, it didn't change my mind on it.
No.
But it gave me a deep experience of,
yeah,
the value of that life,
yeah,
in eternity, and the interaction with a precious mother who's struggling so,
yeah,
deeply. Appreciate that a lot, Mark. Mark, you're writing something new, and it's coming out fairly soon, and I'm excited to read it. It certainly describes some of the things that I went through early on in my church life. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's, well, I found out, I actually didn't know that C.S. Lewis had titled a book The Pilgrim's Regress, so I wanted to write a book called Pilgrim's Regress, and it's basically, it's nothing like Lewis's book, by the way, and I haven't even read that book, but it's on backsliding and apostasy, and it was kind of a result of COVID, where I just saw a lot of backsliding, even among some friends and people I know, and even apostasy, where people actually just abandon the church and give up their profession of faith in Christ. So I wrote a book on apostasy. It's sort of history, it's nature, but especially also its cures. So it's not just a negative book. It's seeking to restore people who are either backsliding or in some cases have stopped professing Christ. How can we minister to them? What do we need to do? And so that's the book. And Tim Challies is writing the foreword, which is kind of him. And I think pastors see the need for this type of book.
I think it'd be great. Aileen was actually at the conference I was just at, his wife.
Oh, good.
I am really looking forward to it. I think this book will be very helpful. I think the biggest struggle for me during COVID, and I think we've talked about this a little, was watching people that I deeply respect act like the world, or even sometimes significantly worse than the world.
Yeah.
And my heart broke, and I didn't know how to respond. It was disorienting for my own faith. Not that I lacked faith, but it was just incredibly discouraging and exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I think a book like that would be deeply helpful for us as we seek to be fully and completely devoted to Christ.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be read by people who want to help those who've backslidden, rather than the backsliders themselves. They don't typically pick up books on backsliding, though there may be a prick of the conscience here and there where people go, oh, yeah, maybe I need to read this, and they feel like they're already making their way back. So
And I think COVID has also intensified that disconnection from Jesus and disconnection from his bride. I think we'd already seen it, but I'm hearing more and more people raised in what I would consider healthy churches who are now stepping away from their faith and just saying, I don't know what I believe. I don't know what I want to follow, but I want to live my life however I want to live it.
Yeah.
So this book will help us to help them to—
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. I pray so. As someone in the community, I'm utterly shocked and dismayed at how many people who identify as Christians actually do not regularly attend church, and it's now not something people blush at, whereas they used to several years ago, like, oh yeah, I really should, but now it's just like, oh no, we don't go, we've got this and that, and they just talk freely about it. So there's the book and then the conference together, these are very important issues that I'm thankful that Cloverdale Baptist is taking the lead and addressing this. It speaks volumes to your own desire to see the church blessed in this land. So I'm grateful for that too.
Appreciate that a lot, Mark. Thank you for coming on here. Thank you for all that you've done. Always an encouragement for me to meet with you. Always fun for me to follow you online and laugh and support you where I can. And deep privilege to read your books. One of the conditions I placed on Mark is that I get a signed copy of everything he writes. So.
Yeah, well, one of the problems is being left-handed. I don't actually have a signature. It changes almost every time. So you can forge them, and I could just stay at home next time.
I love it. And Mark, thank you for coming.
Pleasure.
Reminder that we get the privilege of having you here to speak on this so essential issue, as you have stated, and I would 100% agree. The church is essential. We need to reinvigorate that understanding, but also the overflow of that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your word, the confrontation with the truth of that, and then the encouragement is an overflow of that to live what we believe and to see every Christian committed to a local church receiving and giving and involved in a way that is a blessing to the world around us.
Absolutely.
God bless you and thank you, brother.
Thank you.